Hello everyone. I'm serving you up an extra helping of the A is for Apple podcast, an encyclopedia of food and drink that takes a deep dive into our culinary culture letter by letter. Now, if you listened to the last A episode, you're probably thinking that we were on our best behaviour. But if you tune in regularly, you should know us better than that by now. As ever, Ali, Neil and I talked for ages about our vegetal A's, and inevitably we strayed onto our pet subjects of aphrodisiacs and sex. So here are the saucy bits that we couldn't fit into the previous episode on vegetables. But we start by continuing our discussion on the perils of recipe testing. I get asked this all the time. What? Because everyone just who doesn't understand food history just assumes that we spend our time making food that just is totally inedible. And I naturally now have a good example of something that is totally inedible.
It's always the ones you don't suspect.
Yes.
At first, yeah. Looking at the recipe. You see a recipe for, I don't know, for example, an Ambrose Heath recipe, because we mentioned him last episode, didn't we?
Yeah.
He's got a recipe for brain and tongue pudding.
Lovely.
Which I've never made. But you know what? I bet it's delicious.
I reckon that would be all right.
Yeah.
I like brain, I like tongue, I like pudding. As well. Yeah, exactly. But arrowroot cake, no, don't get it.
Arrowroot cake, gross. There's a recipe in, again, Jane Grigson, because obviously I've done almost every recipe in that book. English salad sauce, vile.
Oh,
sounds
really?
Sounds completely fine. Looks like you're making, look, you look at that recipe and you go, oh, that's basically salad cream. And you make it and you go, what was going on there?
Oh, wow. Interesting. What's in it then?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's a very strange, this just slightly viscous white liquid, which you shake on your salad.
Great.
Yes.
I'm sure you can fill in what you think, I think it looks like.
Oh, goodness.
Well, this is going to be one of those X-rated episodes, isn't
well,
it?
Well, I won't say the thing. So no. Then we don't have to put the yeast sticker on. But we all know what thing it
yes,
is.
Yes, well, I think we can guess.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Neil, is it true or is it a myth that asparagus increases blood and oxygen flow to the genitals? And so that's kind of making it a well-known aphrodisiac.
Well, it is a well-known aphrodisiac, isn't it?
But is that the reason, do you think? Or is there something else going on science-wise?
Well, I didn't look up the sort of benefits of eating asparagus. I take all of these things with a massive pinch of salt because they're usually just nonsense. They're usually what people think might happen and there's no actual real science behind them. But there might be in this case, you know, obviously a lot of plants are therapeutic or medicinal in some way, but I don't know. I doubt it. I think it's just because they're basically willy shaped and they, you know, if you dip them in the sort of melted butter sauce or hollandaise sauce and then they sort of drip. Yeah. So it's all it's all very carry on.
Yes.
Carry on asparagus.
Yes. And yet it does have, it is considered to be a sexy vegetable. And I was just thinking, because we'd previously talked about aubergine and the fact that that's now become a symbol of, you know, obviously male genitalia.
Sure.
And why not the asparagus in that case? And then I started looking up some literary references and there are, you know, it's a bit of a sexy vegetable, but a bit evil as well, like a bit maliciously sexy, if you know what I mean. There's a writer called Evelyn Waugh. Well-known writer, put out More Flags, written in 1942. And there's just a bit of paragraph where he describes, well, the book is about, actually, it's about incest, but the way that the character describes watching a woman's chin dribbling with butter and the malicious way in which he does it creates this association between the vegetable and kind of bad intentions. And I've seen this a few times now, and I wondered what you thought about that.
I think that's the bitterness aspect or something. Certainly people for a good amount of time thought if something was reminiscent of the shape of something in the body, then it helped the body. So asparagus looks like a penis, so maybe it makes you more fertile or virile or whatever. You know, in China, ginkgo biloba the tree, the leaves look like, it's called biloba because the leaves look like the two lobes of a brain. So therefore, it's good for the brain. So this is a thing that crops up all across the world in different cultures. So it's something that's a deep set belief. I mean, sometimes they do carry, but I mean, that's coincidence. Aren't you going to expect a couple to work out?
And I have heard about that with walnuts as well, because walnuts resemble the brain. So they're meant to be good for the brain.
So maybe the bitterness aspect is also having the same treatment, or it tastes bitter. So maybe the sexual feelings that we get is going to be of the darker type.
Yes. Yes.
I can understand why they might correlate those two things.
Yeah. Interesting.
I feel that there's a certain crossover in our choices this week, Ali, artichokes and asparagus. Similar flavour, that sort of bitter sweetness, but also sexiness.
Yes.
It's another sexy vegetable, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. We're back again.
The one that people always say the sexiest way to do, when if you've got a big globe artichoke, is to leave the leaves on around the edges, and then you can pull them off because there's always a little bit of flesh left at the bottom. Then you can dip that into your melted butter and then eat it.
Yes. So
it takes a while to eat one, and there's a bit of ritual as you kind of work around the artichoke, taking off all the little leaves and little bits of flesh at the bottom. And then you can go in. Then you can go in, foreplay done. You can go in for the big scoop.
Yes.
To fill your boots with the choke itself.
I feel like you could also feed each other with these leaves. You know, it's a little bit like that, a little bit messy eating. You know, if you like that kind of thing, that could increase the sensuality of it, perhaps. I don't know if it was always that. I mean, was it always considered to be a sexy food? I'm just thinking, because there is Patrick Lamb, who was, he has 7 recipes for artichoke. I'm just thinking of other chefs who write about artichoke. The aphrodisiac side is never really mentioned. Maybe it's more in the more recent literary writings, like Angela Carter, there is a certain sensuality, or maybe, yes, in recent, I don't know, more recent paintings, but in general, yeah, I don't know. I don't particularly see it as an aphrodisiac vegetable.
No.
The asparagus, I can understand the asparagus, but the leaf, because if you're really digging into the leaf to get the meaty bit out, it's not particularly alluring.
Fair enough.
Yeah. If you're doing it properly, if you're just kind of sucking on it, oh dear, we're getting into dangerous territory now.
Yeah, careful. The alarm's going to go off.
Yeah. Need the klaxon, don't we?
Yeah.
There was something I wanted to say, which was something I just discovered today. Did you know that artichokes were carved into the walls of cathedrals? Did you ever see that? Cathedrals, and also Victorian bedposts, to increase, because they were considered to be aphrodisiac. It was like, you know, giving you some courage to have an artichoke engraved into your bedpost, apparently.
I hadn't noticed that they were carved into bedposts and cathedrals, but it doesn't surprise me because they are so attractive.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's like a flower, but it's more than, I don't know.
So there you have it, 2 of the 3 vegetables we discussed in the last episode of Aphrodisiacs. Let's just hope no bright spark ever decides to pair asparagus or artichokes with Jane Grigson's English salad sauce. Don't forget to subscribe to the A is for Apple podcast newsletter on Substack to ensure you never miss an episode. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram at A is for Apple Pod _ or Twitter at A is for Apple Pod. And if you enjoy the show, please rate and review it on your preferred podcast platform, as it will help other listeners find the A is for Apple podcast. We'll be getting our teeth into some meaty A's next, so we'll be with you again soon.